Oh, it's coming. Right for us. Right for us.
Dan Hampton.
Guys, I can't take it.
It's all about that game.
Ed Obradovich.
Yeah, okay. Goss.
Hey, what's the question?
Glenn Kozlowski.
Okay, let's move on.
Cut down there.
An OB show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com. On the station with the best Bears coverage, 720 WGN.
All righty, a true classic. Bears lose to the San Francisco 49ers 15-14. Robbie Gould, the Bears' all-time leading scorer, 5 field goals for all 15-14. We got OB in studio, and I'm hearing a rustling on the phone with Dan Hampton and Glenn Kozlowski. Guys, the Bears just lost to a 1-win football team, now 2-win football team. We may have hit bottom. OB, I know you're fired up. Why don't you start?
Well, I tell you what, folks. There, if I hear one more word about Fox, if I hear one more word about Loggins, our offensive coordinator, and Fangio, our great defensive genius coordinator, we gave up almost 400 yards, almost 400 yards to a 1-10 team. We're playing at home, the San Francisco 49ers, with a quarterback that's been in the league 4 years. And this is his third start. Trubisky had his 8th start today. And we give up almost 400 yards. They gain 388 yards, 278 yards through the air, and ran on us for 110. You want to know what we did, what we netted out? The first 3 quarters of the 12th game of a National Football League. You want to talk about a joke, a disgrace? We netted out 97 yards after 3 quarters of professional football in the National Football League. Let me say that again one more time. We netted out after 3 quarters 97 yards. They had 8 penalties. When you have 8 penalties and you have a team, 8, 9, 10 penalties, 9 times out of 10 you lose the football game. They win a football game. Guess what, folks? Time of possession, they had approximately 18 more minutes with the ball. 18. Our defense couldn't stop anybody, anywhere, about anything. Our offense couldn't get a first down if the referees gave it to them. 8 first downs the Bears had in the game today, the 12th game. Folks, this was a disgrace, and I'm going to tell you something. You great Chicago Bear fans, and I've said it forever. You don't deserve this, folks. You really don't. To come out, to you people to come out there and pay that money to see this disgraceful exhibition today against a 1-10 football team, and we're at home, and you come out there and watch this. This is a disgrace beyond a disgrace.
Let's bring in Hampo Bear. Hampo.
Well, I think OB is trying to minimize the severity of the problem here. Hey, all I can tell you is this. I was at the game. I was on the sidelines. I talked with one of their assistant coaches. And fundamentally, he said, hey, look, you know we're not very good, but we like the new quarterback. And we all know we got a good head coach. We got a smart general manager. And, of course, we brought up the fleecing of Ryan Pace for all the draft picks this past draft. But he said, you know, it's a completely new vibe under this new head coach. And so as the game kicks off and we flop around and we, soil ourselves at every occasion. And I'll tell you this, Trubisky, it wasn't pretty. It wasn't his finest hour. On that one touchdown drive, he threw 3 excellent passes, but it's not enough. It's not enough from anywhere and everybody. And ultimately, as you said so aptly, OB, a one and ten football team looking for answers, starting a guy that got off the bus a month ago, comes in here, and to add insult to injury, the all-time leading scorer of the Bears, that Ryan Pace basically gave him his walking papers and said, see ya, comes back and puts the dagger in his five times to beat us. Hollywood cannot make up a script that is more bizarre and yet so horrible than what we had to watch today.
Hey, Kaz, who's a better quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo or Mitchell Trubisky?
Garoppolo, it's not even close. But I to say what Dan really was Dan to ever say, that was apropos. I mean, the script was written exactly how it was going to go. Now, Dan's been beating the drum all season long that it's time for John Fox to get his walking papers. Ed has been beating the drum that Ryan Pace he's done a horrible job of identifying talent and then basically bringing talent in and through the draft and through free agency. And it showed its ugly head today. And the worst part about it is, guys, the one time that the Bears defense shouldn't have stopped the 49ers was a minute 34 on the 49 or on their own 2-yard line with no timeouts left. Let them score. And let's see what your first-round draft choice quarterback can do, because you'd only be down 5 points at that point. You'd have a minute 34 to go and got a chance to maybe drive the length of the field and maybe win the game by two. But instead, what is our dumb coaching staff who has no clue or doesn't understand moments in games and what you have to do? Oh, they tell their players, let's make plays and really battle hard so Robbie Gould can beat us. The guy that you ran out of Dodge. And, oh, by the way, whether you like Robbie or not, I mean, at the end of the game when he knocked that through the uprights, it was hard not to kind of smile a little bit because he got his revenge. I mean, and he gave the fist pump and the stare down to Fox and the entire sideline, and nothing you can say. A kicker taunted you today. That's the worst insult as a football player, to be taunted by a kicker at the end of the game, where he single-handedly, for all intents and purposes, beat you with his foot.
Well, it's a lack of understanding of math, right? I mean, Robbie Gould is a 98% likelihood to hit that kick right there.
What a score. It's a minute 34. You're out of timeout. You didn't make the stops that you needed to make because you're a dumb football team. And then what do? You compound it and say, well, let's buckle down and hold them at the 2-yard line and celebrate a tackle behind the line of scrimmage like he did something, knowing damn well that the guy from San Francisco, number 9, was going to kick it through the uprights with no time left. And that's what these idiot, moronic coaches did. And the players, players play hard, but there are calls, Dan, right? I mean, you don't want to be in that situation, but sometimes you've got to play the odds to give yourself a chance. And what the hell did you draft this kid if it's not to go the length of the field with a minute 34 to go?
It's exactly right. And again, what is the object of the game? It's not to hold him at the goal line. It's not to force him. It's to win the game. You basically, as you said, blew your opportunity for the great defensive stand after they got the first down. Now they have the ability to burn the clock while you burn your timeouts, and you sit there like a moron, allowing them to do it instead of basically saying, okay, give them the gate, let them score. We'll have a minute and 30 seconds on the clock, and we'll see if there's something in this kid that can find a way to get us a win. But no, we don't even give him a chance because John Fox is a moron. That's all you can do the math. You know, my 14-year-old, he could have figured this out, in 2 seconds. But unfortunately, an NFL head coach, three-time NFL head coach that'll be fired 3 different places, makes a mockery out of his team and their one sole chance of winning, which is to let them score, and then you go right back down and score on top of it. But we don't even let them try.
And let's throw one more in there, guys, and OB, please respond to this. even if you still lost with Trubisky and you let it, with the minute 30 to go and you gave him the football, at least he gets the experience to do it there. I mean, that's what this season is about anyway at this point. So win or lose, okay, you let him score, and here you go, Mitchell. Here's a great opportunity against a bad defense. You should be able to get some confidence right now. Let's see if you can do it. It was a perfect opportunity, and they just let it go away.
That is irrefutable. You're absolutely correct. But I would like to say this. When are we going to let this kid take the football and throw it down the field? Now, if we, let's say they would have done that. We got the ball back. We haven't gone downfield one time. I for the life of me, gentlemen, and the listeners out there, I cannot. This game plan that Loggins comes up with is I don't know what the words are to tell you folks. I don't even know where the hell to go with this. It is so dumb and so stupid. This is a game plan against a 1-10 team, and you're playing at home against this team with a quarterback that's just making his third start, and we don't test the waters. We don't go deep on a post or a fly pattern not one damn time in the entire game. This is professional football. This is a disgrace. And anybody that says it's not is a damn idiot.
Hey, and here's something I'll add, Dan and Ed. The 49ers, you know, you talk about the Bears, well, they had to get Willie Young, you know, basically off the street. They brought back the safety, you know, who has been out of football for a few weeks.
Chris Brzezinski.
Yeah, half of the 49er defense wasn't on anybody's roster over the last 4 weeks. Think about that. These guys are pulling players. The guys yesterday talked about it on the air with us, the reporter. Look, half of the guys aren't even NFL players. They just had to get bodies because they had so many injuries and so many other things that they were throwing bodies out there. And that's right. This is a team that, you know, half these guys haven't played in the NFL. So it would be like a preseason game in essence. But heaven forbid, we'd let our number nine pick, or the number two pick, who we moved up and gave everything away for, throw the damn ball down the field. It's insanity, and enough's enough. And, you know, truthfully, I don't know where the Bears go from here, but I will tell you this. There is, you know, this isn't rock bottom. This is an embarrassment, and I'm not sure you're going to get too many people that will want to support this garbage that they're throwing out each and every week.
Hey, Dan and Glenn, quickly here. You know, if you talk about this guy Pace, our general manager, let's just talk about money for a second here with our two quarterbacks. Glennon, they went out and got him, okay, the best free agent quarterback available, signed him a 43-some-odd million-dollar contract, $18.5 million guaranteed this year, okay? Then what does he do few months later, updrafts, he goes and he gets Trubisky. Signs him to a $19 million signing bonus, plus guaranteeing him a contract for 4 years for $29 million. So if you try to add this up, so you've got Trubisky this year making $26,250,000 and Glennon $18,500,000. You think we don't have a problem with our general manager?
We do. No question.
So, I got another question here. Hamp, why don't you take this? How does Marquise Goodwin, who is the 49ers' leading receiver, but the guy basically looked like Jerry Rice today. I mean, Prince Amukamara was giving him a cushion like it was, you know, I couldn't believe it. Eight balls, 99 yards, and making all sorts of third down catches. And how many balls, by the way, were just floating in the air? And Kyle Fuller had a decent day. But, I mean, there was one play where there are three Bears around a receiver and somehow just sneaks through. They should have picked off Jimmy Garoppolo at least a couple of times. And the one they did get was a borderline fumble. But I'm curious what you thought about how they covered Goodwin.
Well, going in, I had talked about this on television today. Who would have thunk that with somebody named C.J. Beathard, a rookie starting for the 49ers, they would be afforded the receiver that leads the NFL in average gain per catch. And that's Goodwin. He's got world-class Olympic speed. And apparently, Vic Fangio and every cornerback on our team must have read about that, because nobody wanted to get up and jam him. Nobody wanted to get it into a situation where they had to lock up and play one-on-one coverage. So, again, here we go. Take the easy way out. Do what's easy, not what is, you know, required or difficult. And we basically gave him the slant. We gave him the out. We gave him every pattern. And, again, folks, we know that it's hard for you to fathom the fact that Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, he started a couple of games for New England. But that was a completely different, you know, set of circumstances. He's now with a new team, 3 weeks, with a bunch of guys he doesn't know from Adam. And, hey, and he comes out, and statistically, he not only looks the part, but plays the part, and hooks up with this kid that, as you said, Goodwin is, you know, he's making things happen. And ultimately, their offense put together 3 different drives of, I think it was 11, 14, and 15 plays, where, you know, at some point, you got to make a stand, and I got it. Oh, we made them kick field goals. But they kept the ball away from us. They drove on us all day at will. And it's just the fact that, hey, they're a 1-10 team. That's why they couldn't score touchdowns. But by gosh, they kept it away from us all day. As you said, 18-minute differential in time. What is that? That, guys, and again, yesterday I made this a fact that a lot of people aren't really able to fathom it. But the last 8 head coaches that were fired during the course of an NFL season in the NFL, last year and the year before, the next year, all 8 teams responded and went to the playoffs, or are on schedule to go to the playoffs. So coaching matters. Coaching means everything. We saw it today where a green grass kid named Kyle Shanahan coached the pants off the old man Fox.
I'll tell you what, this is a new low as far as I'm concerned. Doing this for so many years, I am absolutely, totally, and completely beyond frustrated. I keep going back. Here's a guy, what Danny and Glenn were talking about, Garoppolo. Kid grew up, went to Rolling Meadows High School. And by the way, where does he go to college? Eastern Illinois, which is about central or a little bit southern Illinois. And he's down there playing. I think New England drafts him, what, 6th or 7th round?
Second. He was a second round pick. They knew who he was.
Yeah, and then
we don't know who he is.
Right, what, about 10 years or whatever it was before that, there's a quarterback by the name of Tony Romo, who for 4 years down did the same thing he did with the Dallas Cowboys. And you mean to tell me not one scout, not one Bear coach, nobody in the Bears organization could figure out that you have 2 quarterbacks that can play in the big league 3 hours away, a drive, and in 4 years that those guys were down there each, or 3 years, you mean to tell me not one scout, not one coach, not one player, not anybody went down there and took a look at those 3 kids? One goes to New England, and the other one goes to Dallas with a free agency. I mean, folks, this is what we're talking about here. This thing stinks from the top. It's awful what the hell's going on here. And today, I'll say it again, Dan and Glenn, the fans, you don't deserve this. Again, there's no greater fans in the world than you guys. And you come here and you watch that sheer stupidity on every facet of this game. I tell you, enough's enough.
Hey, you know, and again, and by the way, Obradovich, you're clairvoyant. You predicted a Tariq Cohen return for a touchdown yesterday. So you're prescient, but unfortunately you got the score backwards. I think I had 17-15, the 49ers, and that was, you know, unfortunately pretty close. But OB,
yes,
back
sir.
To the point that Cos made. At the end of the game, rather than give yourself a chance to win, rather than give your young quarterback an opportunity to sink or swim, to prove what he is, your offensive coordinator, all these nights up there drinking beer and eating pizza, watching film until midnight. You come up with your two-minute game plan and all these different things, and you know what? We don't even get a chance at it because we're too stupid to give ourselves a chance.
Hey, Kaz, let me ask you this one. You got four games to go. How could you there's no chance, right, that Dowell Loggins is your offensive coordinator next year, right? And there's no chance
that any of these coaches I can't say that, again, he may be in the organization because, you know, contracts are still contracts. Some of the assistants will stay. Fox will be gone. Truthfully, Ed said it best. We should all just say we're sorry. In the Bears organization, George McCaskey ought to send out an individual letter to every season ticket holder and say, I am sorry that we are this pathetic, and I'm going to do all I can to fix it. But having said that, go on, Mark, on your question. But, not going to be back.
I just think you have an opportunity, in theory at least, the last four games to get a head start on next year, which Hamp's been talking about. These guys aren't going to be here. It's clear that it's time to move forward, but I don't think anybody actually thinks they'll do anything.
Well, that's the sad part, but hopefully, again, Dan has been beating this drum all year long. He can't make it any more loud or clear. And I think everybody has heard him loud and clear because I've had people come up to me all the time saying, Dan's right. We've got to get rid of John Fox. And it is. It's time to do it. Hopefully George McCaskey will go home tonight, do a little soul searching. He loves this team. He does love this organization. Don't mistake the fact that this doesn't upset the McCaskeys. They just don't know what to do, and they've always been conservative. Well, now's the day that you stand up and say enough's enough. And, the old saying, the guy yells out, the old newscaster that said, I'm damn tired, I've had enough, or whatever that phrase is. That's what he has to do. And they've got to make a change at the top. You figure out what you're going to do. You demote Loggins. Yeah, he stays on the staff because he's still there. And you promote the quarterback coach. You have Vic Fangio, who, look, I'm not a big fan either, Ed, but he's better than the bumbling Fox at this point, and you move forward and you at least send a message to the fans that you're going to do all you can to try and fix it. And that's really what they need to do, Mark. And hopefully somebody up there got the SOS from Dan Hampton, because he's been belting it out since week one. And hopefully somebody will listen.
Yeah, you know what, gentlemen, I can't get over these stats. I can't get by them. And passing yards, and again, in today's game, Trubisky passed for, in four quarters of football, he passed for 85 yards. We ran the football 62 yards for a total of 147 yards against a team that played us in our own field, and the record is 1-10 with a quarterback that just got to San Francisco approximately 3 weeks ago, and he comes in here and makes everybody look like fools. We get out coached. We get out quarterbacked. We get out defensed. We got out everything. But how the hell can you, justify, how can you make sense of this yardage? 85 yards passing and 62 yards in this game of professional football. Folks, that's almost like, that's unheard of. That's unheard of. Especially with a team that won one game and come in our ballpark and shut us down to run the ball 62 yards and to pass 85 yards in our own damn ballpark. Come on, folks. My God.
Hampo, what would you, outside of a coaching change, as the Bears get ready to play the Bengals, the Lions, the Browns, and the Vikings, if you were coaching the team, Hamp, what would you do with these final four games to try to give yourself a head start on next year?
Unfortunately, week after week, we have documented the plight from the beginning of training camp. And all through the preseason, OB and I and Kaz screamed to the heavens, what are we doing? We wasted all that time with the human stork, Mike Glennon, which now You can't get that time back. You can't get the training camp timing, you know, practices back. You can't get any of that. Well, we were set up to fail because of the plan put in place by John Fox and Ryan Pace. When they put this plan in, saying that Glennon was going to be... So all this is it's not a shock, but unfortunately, it's a reality now. And we scream from the rooftops, this is what's going to happen. This is beware, be careful. This is what happens when you fail to prepare. Well, guess what? Now here we are. And again, OB, your point is dead on. You know, the 49ers are the Cleveland Browns of the NFC. Guess what? They beat us. So what does that make us? I guess we're now the Cleveland Browns of the NFC. And it's just what it is. Now, how can a guy like John Fox that inherited a team in disarray from Mark Trestman and Phil Emery and cobble together 6 wins and then tried to, you know, sell his snake oil saying, oh, we're on the verge. We're going to turn it around and it'll go 3-13 the next year and yet not be held accountable all the way into week 13 of the following season where now we are still stuck at 3 wins. What would I do? You got a clean house. And again, this all matters. I just watched the New York Jets. The New York Jets were voted, you know, like one of the two or three worst franchises in the NFL going into the season. But I think, guess what? They beat Cleveland. They beat the Kansas City Chiefs today. I think they've won 6 games with a roster that they may have 5 guys that could start for the Bears. But you know what? They're doing a hell of a job of coaching. And you got to give Josh McCown, you know, an awful lot of credit. He makes winning throws and avoids a lot of catastrophe throws. And that's what you do at quarterback. Unfortunately, our quarterback, you know, piddles around. And what did you say? He came up with 85 yards total passing.
That's right, 85.
In the NFL, the year 2017 of our Lord, and we come up, and come on, we're stripping away. Richard Dent and I were on the field talking about, hey, if you don't want to play today, if you can't play today, it was optimum weather conditions, and you had a bunch of deadbeats across the line of scrimmage. If you don't look like All-Pro today, you'll never be All-Pro. And what do? We go out there and make a fool out of ourselves. And when we had a chance at the very end, someone with a brain that would have told Fox the Fool to let him score because all we need to do is score a touchdown. Either way, yeah, I mean, it's certain death, you know, if you wait for him to kick the field goal with 4 seconds left. But what do? We let the clock burn down like fools watching our own house burn.
Danny, before we switch, and Glenn, hold on one second. I'll get one more stat here, which I think I did mention. Danny, we passed, and Glenn, for 85 yards. 85 yards, okay? Garoppolo, Jimmy Garoppolo from Rolling Meadows, passed for 278 yards against our vaunted defense. 278 yards he passed for.
That's only 3 times as much in his first start with a trash bag team around him. So, okay, when you start tracing the problems back, is it the players or is it the coach? I think it's pretty evident.
What did you guys think about, and I don't want to nitpick one play in the game, but I do want to ask you, second play of offense on the game, they pitch it to Jordan Howard. He's headed for the sidelines. And he just tiptoes out of bounds. And to me, that's just, I mean, you're not, it's not the fourth quarter, you're trying to stop the clock. Where's the intensity? Where's the physicality?
Hey, I was right there on the side, and I saw that, and I turned to the guy I was talking to, and I said, is it that bad now? Is the NFL, is it that bad now? And you know what? I got to tell you, there's a lot of things going on with this team. Forget the product we saw on the field today, which was a disgrace. This nonsense about these players screaming at them at each other and making a big scene about that, about the you know, the dice playing and the card playing in the locker room and in the training room. And what about this? At some point, you have to address, on a good football team, everybody shuts their mouth and they work hard for a common goal. And that's the head coach's job, to basically put the template out and say, when we win, everybody gets a pat on the back. But we got to win, and this is how we're going to do it. To me, it looks like Jordan Howard is now becoming almost sullen and petulant because of the fact that Tariq Cohen has now been given so much opportunity, has been forced into so many contrived situations during the course of the game. And no one, and there's no, I hate to say father figure, but that's what it is. You got to say, hey, for the good of the team, you just do what we tell you, blah, blah, blah. But right now, it looks to me like Jordan Howard is pouting. And when your best player on offense is pouting, this is what you get. You get a team that can't get out of its own way.
There were a couple times today where he showed frustration. Kaz, did you notice that play?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And that's what a bad team does, because what happens when you stink, and you know, it's hard to explain that, you know, I've been coaching high school football for a long time, so I have a pretty good handle on how a lot of these young guys are growing up now. And when you're bad and team doesn't matter anymore, what are you gonna do? You're gonna take care of yourself. Jordan Howard's banged up. You know, let's just call it what it is. Everybody's banged up. And I'm not making an excuse for Jordan Howard, but that is a symptom of a leaderless team with no direction, and that's what it is. So, yeah, you're going to see a lot of guys that are selfishly going to take themselves out or not put themselves in a situation where it might hurt a little bit because they don't care anymore. And that's a bad spot to be when you're on the ultimate team sport. When you've got a bunch of individuals that are just basically worried about themselves, that's what you got. Yeah. You know, that's when you start having fights in the locker room. That's when all these stupid things happen that Dan has just talked about and Ed has talked about, and it just keeps snowballing. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse.
Hey, Danny, you said you were on the sidelines. This is in the second quarter. I almost flew out of the chair. We were on defense, and we came with an all-out blitz, and Eddie Jackson came in. It was right around, the 13:40 mark in the second quarter. And he came in on a blitz, Dan, and the running back was there, was set for him, waiting for him, coming in. And he came flying in. And as soon as he got to the back, he put the brakes on and, stopped and just made a touch instead of trying to either juke him and go around him or lower your shoulder and drive on through him. And he came to almost a complete stop. I don't know if you saw that play. When I saw that, I thought to myself, uh-oh, okay, it started. Here we go.
Okay, and I guess what we're trying to piece together here is case and case after point and point where we as a team don't play with any toughness. We take the out of bounds rather than turn it up for an extra 2 yards. Instead of running through a blitz pickup running back, we hit the brakes and play patty cake. And that is, see again, that is when you as a team lose interest in helping the team and you're only thinking about helping yourself, then self-preservation becomes first and foremost. And those are the players that you can never win with or build with. And you know what? Week after week, we're going to see it, as you said, Kaz, as we go down the stretch here, if you don't hold Fox accountable and fire him. Now, here's the thing about Vic Fangio. Vic Fangio isn't a sexy pick. I got it. No, B, you're right. All the injuries on defense, come on. Sam Acho is your starting outside linebacker. That position has to be the most dynamic point of your defense. Well, a pass rusher that's a game changer. And we got Sam Acho starting. So I'm just saying, we were depleted at safety. Our middle linebackers have been in and out. There's a lot. You could give him a little bit of cover. But Vic Fangio I think, would be a terrific interim coach. And you know what? He deserves a chance because he has shown that he doesn't get up there after the game and say, I don't give a rip about my job. See, if you really cared, you'd say, it's the most important thing on the planet Earth. I want this job. I'm going to do everything I can. But John Fox gets up last week and says, I don't give a rip. Well, I think it's time we go Vic Fangio down the stretch and see if there is a change in attitude from the top to the bottom.
You know, I thought that I really did last week. I thought that Fox was really going to go. I mean, they were just going to let him go, appoint Fangio, or I don't see him appointing anybody else, Danny or Glenn, to be a head coach if that situation should have happened or if it will happen tonight. And tomorrow we come up with somebody new. But I'll tell you what, God, George McCaskey, I mean, George has got to be spinning here. I mean, what's going on here? And again, I keep going back to it. How the hell do you let a 1-10 team come in here with the quarterback 3 weeks ago that they just got on trade, and he played for a minute and 7 seconds last week and threw two passes, folks? And this kid comes in here, Jimmy Garoppolo, and throws for almost 300 yards against us, and we're at home with our supposedly great defense? How bad are we, guys? How bad are we?
One stat that we haven't talked about, Tim, we have talked about it every week, we just haven't mentioned it today. Coming into today, the Bears were 0-6 in the John Fox era when they're favored. And we talked about it yesterday. Bears were a 3.5-point favorite today. They're now 0-7. That is, I think, borderline impossible to do, but somehow he's done it. And
wait a minute. I told you today on Fox Television, I have to give my three keys to the game. First one was, hey, you know, do what you do, which is run the ball, which we couldn't and we didn't. Number two was, your stars have to be stars. Well, we really don't have any stars, but Danny Trevathan and Akeem Hicks and Trubisky, you got to play great. Well, none of them did. But the third one was, John Fox is 0-6 when he has been favored in his reign of terror, now almost 3 years long. Now he's 0-7. You couldn't, in Vegas, the odds would be 1,000,000 to 1 if you was to tell somebody 3 years ago, he's only going to be favored 7 times in the next 3 years, and he'll lose all of them outright. The odds in Vegas would be 1,000,000 to 1. That's how bad that is.
Let me tell you something. You know, you look at we go back to the draft, okay? And in spite of we getting Glennon, he was supposed to be the guy, the cure-all for us. And then for Pace to do what he did with moving up and giving up basically a draft and all that, and Trubisky after eight starts, and he's been here since last spring. What have they been doing with this kid? Who's been bringing him along day after day, week after week, month after month, once you get into the exhibition season, once you get into the real season? Who's trying to upstep him? Who's trying to get him ready to play? When he finally does the fifth game, he does nothing. They have no game plan. Drop back or hand the ball off. That's coaching. That's trying to win. That's championship football. Jesus.
That's John Fox football.
Let's rewind to the point that you guys were talking about at the start, which is you let the 49ers score. Now, Kyle Shanahan actually made a mistake. On second and goal, they ran the ball. The Niners should have been taking a knee. But once they ran it, you let them go in. I mean, Shanahan wasn't perfect there either. But they were handing you an opportunity to actually win the game after you blew it.
That's what I'm saying. He woke up and, you know, started smelling the coffee. But Fox is so stupid that, you know, you got to tell him, hey, line up and at the snap, ball on the ground, let him score. And we got 90 seconds and our hotshot quarterback, and we're going to find out who can play. We don't even get a chance.
And guys, here's the worst part again. And, you know, everything we talked about, the stats, you almost – you've got to try and be that bad, you would think. You know, you'd almost feel like somebody's actually trying to set the all-time lowest record to do what they've done the last 2 weeks on the offense. But remember, the 49ers have had, they have a bunch of players that won't be on their team next year. I mean, that's what makes this even more insane and crazy is you're talking about a team, forget that they're 1-10, they have guys that they had just picked up off the streets that hadn't played football all season, and they're roughing us up today. I mean, you can't write that. You can't make that. It's crazy. Shouldn't happen.
That's a great point, Glenn. That really is. You know, when you wonder what in God's name some of these teams are that are really bad. You know, and I'm still stunned about these stats. I'm still stunned that defensively, we're against them. That's a 1-10 team. Garoppolo starting. Why not throw everything at them? Every play, every gap, blitz, cornerback blitz, safety, weak safety, strong safety blitz, line tricks, mic tricks, will tricks. Just come after them every play. What do you have to lose? Maybe it might work. Instead, what do? You really don't come after them that much. And when they do, they got you. So you should have came out from the first play of the game and went after Garoppolo and the San Francisco 49ers, and you didn't. And our offense couldn't move the ball. And my Lord, you know, guys, this is this game, I'll remember this one for a long, long time. I've seen a lot of Bear games, been to a lot of them, but I'll tell you what, this one is right up there at the top somewhere, guys.
Well, in an abstract way, it's really right up there at the bottom, if you know what I mean.
Yes, very good, Dan. Very good.
Mark Carmen, but again, see, a lot of times, you know, life is cruel, but sometimes it's worse than that. Think about this. Ryan Pace cuts Robbie Gould. He comes back and is the only one to score on a 1-10 team that beats you 15-14. You didn't and refuse to acknowledge a young man that was a quarterback 100 miles away from your city as he became, you know, a very good player in college, and yet you ignored him and allowed maybe the best franchise in football to not only draft him, but cultivate him. And then he finally gets his opportunity with this, you know, this trash bag football team, and yet they come back to town and they come to Chicago, Garoppolo coming home, Robbie Gould coming back, and they have the last laugh. Now, how big of a Abbott and Costello movie is that? I mean, how bad? I mean, you can't make this up. And the one thing that it gives me a little bit of solace is I'm looking at a picture on my desk of an Ed Obradovich, probably 1970, playing against the 49ers, and he's got a running back of the 49ers helmet in his hands as he's twisting the guy's head. Thinking that's what we should have done today.
Is there any other way, Dan?
let's just name it here. Let's just remind everybody, get it on record one more time. The Bears dealt their own number 3, their third-round pick last year, number 67 overall, one of their fourth-round picks, which was number 111, and a 2018 third-round pick to move up the one spot to get Trubisky. So the 3, the 4th, the 3rd, that's 3 picks plus their own to flip. And the Niners are sitting there, as you just said, Dan, with arguably, I don't think you could argue it any other way, a better quarterback and all those picks. And they used that pick to get Garoppolo and Moore and have Solomon Thomas, the whole thing.
You didn't think Jimmy Garoppolo would love to come back to Chicago?
Oh, I'm sure he would.
He's right here in Arlington Heights, played Rolling Meadows High School. And by the way, congratulations to his mother and father, Mr. and Mrs. Tony Garoppolo. I'm sure they're very, very proud. I'm not too happy for him, though. But I am a little happy for him because their son came out after being in the 49ers for just, I think about 3 weeks and come here and take total control of the offense and dominate our defense. And he's not even playing at home. He's playing here. It's an away game for the 49ers. But again, Mr. and Mrs. Garofalo, you know, congratulations. Kid played a great game today.
And that's it. Go ahead. Sorry, Gus.
His first start for the 49ers, and he wins. And, you know, look, that's what we were looking for. And for all intents and purposes, I know he was trained well in New England. But the truth is, this was really his first big start with a bunch of guys that probably aren't, you know, he won't be playing with in the next 2 years. And he lights it up. So.
Glenn? He played a minute and 7 seconds last week for the 49ers. That's it, coming into this game.
Right.
26 of 37. His one interception was that was a tremendous play by Kyle Fuller. It was really a completion.
And if you discount, and it was, Kyle Fuller played his best game since the month of September. And if you discount Tariq Cohen's amazing return, where we all were screaming, no, 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 oh, go, go, go. Well, if you take away those two plays, how bad would this have been? How bad would it have been? That was a short field. That interception gave us for our touchdown. And then the other points were only scored on the return. So you're exactly right. I mean, everybody wants to act like, oh, well, these games, you know, oh, they're a learning process and this and that. You are not seeing anyone get better. This offense is going the opposite way, and unfortunately, our young franchise quarterback is getting worse by the week.
Let's give the stats on Tariq Cohen. That play
I'll just give you, you know, 4 quarters of football, the 12th game.
Right.
We score 7 points against a 1-10 team. Okay? That's the bottom line.
With a terrible defense. To Tariq Cohen, just to give the one sliver of positiveness, which I'm going to back up with some negativity on the end here. But he's got 2 rushing touchdowns, a receiving touchdown, a punt return for a touchdown. The last Bears rookie to do that was Gale Sayers, 1965. So he's doing historic things. Now, here's the other side of it. How many times did Tariq Cohen touch the football today? The answer to that is 6. And you know, Mitch Trubisky's asked about it. We got to get him the ball more. I mean, he touched it 6 times. And the running back count, snap count, Jordan Howard at 21, Tariq Cohen 16, Benny Cunningham 8. That's out of 37 plays. Why Benny Cunningham's on the field for 8 plays, I'm not exactly sure. But Cohen's out there 16 times. And to your point earlier, Hamp, I mean, Jordan Howard might be pouting, but like, he's got to get over it, right?
Well, and see, this is the box that this football team's in. He is the best weapon we have on a regular basis. Yeah, Tariq Cohen has, you know, home run ability, but you can't give it to him 29 times. But see, the thing about Jordan Howard is, if you're not making, you know, those 4, 5, 6 yard chunk gains, then sooner or later they're going to go away from you, and they're going to try other options. And so, When Jordan Howard was unable to get anything going in the first quarter, obviously Dowell Loggins just, you know, aborts that part of the playlist, and then we start looking at other things. Well, let's try this, let's try that, let's do this, and unfortunately we have a scatterbrain game plan that the last 2 weeks has been nothing but grab bag, and we've got an offense that proves it. Last week, we rushed for a grand total of 6 yards. Really wasn't much better today.
Kaz, are you getting Tariq Cohen the football more, or is 6 times sound about right? Because, you know, to Hamp's point, you're not going to pound it with him.
No. You've got to touch it more, but you've got to be creative in how he touches this. And that's the problem. Look, these are dumb, bad coaches. Just call it what it is. That's what it is. So to expect them, these guys, to figure out how to use the talent they have, well, it's not going to happen. They're not good enough to do it. Loggins has proven that he has no clue how to do it. And whoever the guy, the running back coach is who makes the exchanges and puts the different running backs in on different packages, he has no clue either. So clearly, it's a pretty simple answer, a straightforward answer. You have to make changes. You got to reevaluate everything, and you got to start from the top. That is what Ed has been saying with the GM, You got to work all the way down. And Dan has called it right from the beginning with Fox. He's just been a blundering fool since he's been here, and he'll continue to do that. And it's only to get more frustrating. So that's it in a nutshell.
Yeah, Glenn, you know what? What you said is right. Listen, this Fox goes, Pace has to go. Pace goes, Fox has to go. They can't continue like this, guys. They've been here 3 years. This is one of the most pathetic situations I've ever seen the Bears in. Not only do we not have talent, we don't have talent in the coaching staff. We don't have talent. We have some receivers that shouldn't even be in this league, folks. Just telling you, shouldn't even be playing. And they're on this team in the 12th game. No wonder we passed for 85 yards.
Well, if anyone was keeping score at home, it was another bumbling mistake by Fox on the challenge call.
Oh my God.
Another Sunday, another bumbling call.
That when he did that, I just, please, even if it is, don't do it, you idiot. Don't throw that red flag out. Because it was clear he didn't make it. I'm sitting in WGN studios and I could see it.
Honestly, that's the one thing we need to do this week, guys. We have to find out, and it's on Fox ultimately, but who in the world, whoever he's talking to up in the booth that told him to challenge and has been telling him to challenge all season,
that's right.
That guy has to be so far gone, he is a complete fool. It does not take a rocket scientist to figure out either of those that you're not challenging. It's like a wish and a prayer. It's unbelievable.
Well, what do we have? How many coaches do we have here, gentlemen? I think we have, what, like 17 or 18 coaches? Plus trainers, plus this, plus that, plus everything, and we can't find one.
Hamp, you got to use your context to find out who it is.
We can't find one guy that has clear eyesight and has a brain that's working and see that. Del Fox, don't throw that flag, you idiot. Oh, Jesus.
In a parting gesture, maybe we could get the red challenge flag from Fox, auction it off to be burned on New Year's Eve to the highest bidder. So once and for all, we can end his reign of terror.
We're at our hour here, guys, but let's end the show here. Bears wide receiver snap count. Now, they got it right with Dontrell Inman, who was on the field for 35 plays. What receiver between Josh Bellamy, Kendall Wright, Marcus Wheaton should be number two on that list?
Kendall Wright. Not even close.
It's not even close. It's Kendall Wright. Kendall Wright was on the field today for 20 plays. Josh Bellamy was on the field for 30 plays. Marcus Wheaton was on the field for one play.
Hey,
I mean,
guys,
this is like basic, basics, beyond basic stuff. Come on, man.
Mark, you got to understand, they had the ball for basically a quarter and a third. They did. 49ers had the ball approximately 18 more minutes than the Bears. Quarter's 15 minutes, isn't it? Last time I checked.
Sure, but if they had the right guys on the field, OB, maybe that would be a little different, right?
Well, when you don't have time, they make a lot of stupid decisions, and I don't know where to go, what to say anymore. I've said it week after week after week. My God, how pathetic is this team going to be? And again, to you Bear great fans, you Chicago Bear fans, God, we love you. How the hell you sit through this stuff is amazing to me.
Hey, Hamp, who do you want taking the most snaps at tight end? Deion Sims, Daniel Brown, or Adam Shaheen?
Either one of them.
It has to be Shaheen. But here's the one thing. Hey, guys, one last thing. Remember, we have to go to Cincinnati next week. They're going to be coming off of a Monday night loss. If you've ever caught a team on the road after Monday, that's the play. Well, guess what? I'll tell you right now, we're going to be a 6-point underdog to the crummy Cincinnati Bengals.
Deion Sims played 25 snaps, say Daniel Brown 11, Adam Shaheen 9, and that is dead on. I'd say it'd be at least 6.
Shaheen should be the guy playing.
Right.
He is the guy that should be in the game playing. These other guys you're talking about, they're rounders. They've been around and whatever. And the one thing we obviously know, they'd have been somewhere else, that they're not finishers. This kid Shaheen, you got him. You drafted him in the second round. Play him, you knuckleheads. Right.
Well, not only that, but remember this. Just like we drafted a quarterback and then went and signed a $40 million you know, guy to play. Same thing with the tight end. We draft Shaheen in the second round. Then we go and sign $9 million two-year contract to Sims so that Shaheen can't play, which is insanity.
That's what I've been talking about and screaming about. I pace his head. Is this guy, does you think he really knows what the hell he's doing? And can you imagine the money this guy's blowing? That's all, Dan, it's in two quarterbacks for this year, and we've won three games, and he spent almost $35 million guaranteed to two players, our two quarterbacks, who don't know how to win a game.
All I can tell you is inflation's really, really bad these days. $12 million a win. It's just hard to believe it.
The Bears are 3-9, so that puts them with the Colts, the Broncos, the Colts and the Broncos, the teams with the worst record. The 49ers are 2-10. The Giants are sitting at 2-9. So that's coming up here. And you got the Browns at 0-11. So this, if you're looking at where they're jockeying for picks here.
Hey, I haven't gotten by.
You want them to
make it? 1-10 49ers.
I mean, look, you know what, guys, in the end, we don't want this this group, Ryan Pace and John Fox, making any picks moving forward, regardless if they got the first pick. They would butcher it.
Right.
Hey, Glenn, seriously, what Pace has done in 3 years here, okay, would you have this guy around as your general manager and head of your draft going into the year 2018 evaluating players? Would you really have that guy, the head guy for this organization, and he's the point guy that's going to make us a better team?
Nope.
He's also going to hire the coach.
Right. I mean, yeah, it's clear. It's time to make a change across the board.
All right, team. Sorry that we couldn't be on the radio today, but Northwestern basketball was, and of course we will be next weekend.
We won't be preempted by
We will not. We will not. After the Bengals, we'll be here at 3 o'clock on Sundays. Hope you enjoy the stream today, and if you're checking out on the podcast, thank you for listening to that. Hamp and Kaz, sorry to not see your faces today, but it was great to hear you. Great job, and OB, great to have you in studio as the Bears lose to the Niners 15-14.
See you, partners.
See you, guys.
We'll see you next time.